Good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Probably the most famous psalm of all. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, the psalm of the divine shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Okay. It's interesting that the psalmist, well, David, will use the motif of God being the shepherd. You have to understand, during these times, a shepherd was a very despised occupation, especially to the, especially to foreigners, but even to the Jews as well. You know, the Egyptians, one of the reasons why they hated the Jews is because they were shepherds, primarily. And even in Jewish law, that and you know, please don't take any offense, but you know, women were not considered credible witnesses, but also shepherds as well. And so they were classified in that same category. You'd always send, it was like the lowliest jobs during this time. And so you get in the beginning of this, you get a little bit of the heart and character of God. In the sense that he describes, and it's not just David. You see this all the way through. Moses actually first calls God the shepherd of Israel, you know, all the way back early on in his writings. And then you see it woven all the way through the prophets. You see it through so many different books. And you see God taking that role of the shepherd. And why that's significant or why that's important is because you get a little glimpse into the character of God. You know, he really, if you think about it, you know, people say, oh, there's this, you know, why is there seem to be a God of the Old Testament? And he, you know, there's war and he seems angry and all these things. And then there's the God of the New Testament, Jesus, and he's so kind and so nice. You know, what's going on here? Well, you see glimpses that actually it's one and the same person. And so you have this powerful God, and yet his self-description is as a lowly shepherd. And so you get a little glimpse into his humility in that way. And the relationship between shepherd and sheep, the shepherd is everything to the sheep. He is everything. He's the defender. He's the provider. He's the physician. He's the guide. You know, I mean, like, he's the leader. He is to the sheep. The shepherd is everything that you can think of. I mean, whatever role he takes, you know, Aristotle actually writes about sheep, and he's, you know, and you've heard me use this language before, but they're the most laziest, right? The word he uses is uncunning, which just means they're dumb, you know? But it's just, you see how this portrayal, and so the shepherd needs to be everything to the sheep. You know, if you notice, like, if you ever watch, like, National Geographic, and, you know, they're out into the wild, like, number one, you don't see a lot of, like, hunting of sheep. You know what I mean? Because it's not exciting television. It's not like there's going to be a race and this gazelle is running this lion, because a sheep, you just sit there. They're totally defenseless. Remember, sheep are not wild animals. And so, they really can do nothing to protect themselves, only the shepherd. And so you see this beautiful analogy, and it's important that David writes this because David was the shepherd. But now he places himself as the sheep, knowing full well exactly how sheep behave, the nature of the sheep, all these different things. And he said, the Lord is personal, my shepherd. I am the sheep. He is my. He's not just the shepherd of Israel. He is my shepherd. And even the second verse, I shall not want. I will suggest to you this first phrase is two things. It's a declaration, but it's also a decision. It's a declaration saying, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a declaration. The shepherd is everything to me. He provides everything that I need. Whatever I can ever imagine, he protects me, he guides me, he feeds me, he takes care of me, he heals me, he leads me. All these things, this is what the shepherd does. And so it's a declaration of who God is, you know, but it's also a decision. Yes, I am the sheep. I come under this shepherd and I shall not want. Not only does he provide all these things, I make a decision that I will not want anything else. I want the shepherd. I want this shepherd. That's how this whole psalm starts off. You know, to be honest, I was doing this, man, I could spend like weeks, right, talking about this, but I only have 30 minutes, so I'm going to try my best here. So I shall not what? Declaration and decision. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. See, the sheep is realizing, because they won't even rest on their own. You know what I mean? So God leads them to that place of rest. They're fidgety animals. And so he says that there's actually a book written by a shepherd, like a real shepherd, modern day shepherd. And it's a shepherd's view on Psalm 23. There's actually a lot of really good insight because a shepherd begins to talk about the nature and how sheep operate. And he says here in this phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. For a sheep to actually lie down, because they're such fidgety, fearful animals, he says it means four things, okay? A sheep will not lie down if he's fearful. In other words, if there's presence of danger or something, they will not lie down. They will sit upright and they will not rest. The other thing this shepherd says is that if there's any friction, because sheep are social animals, right? You know, they always move in flocks. That if there's any friction, any discord with another sheep or whatever the case may be, they will not lie down. And so, and then also, if there's flies, you know, if there's insects that are bothering them, they will not lie down. It's nice that he did all these F's. And the last one is if the sheep is hungry. If he's not satisfied, he will not lie down. And so this guy writes, and he says, so no, if there's four F's, fear, friction, flies, or famine. In other words, for the shepherd is saying, for the sheep to lie down, the shepherd has to take care of the fear, the friction, the flies, and the famine. The sheep need to be well fed. There needs to be total peace all around. There needs to be peace in between the sheep and even the flies, right? You see this laid out. Fear, friction, flies, and famine. And it's almost like, you know, the sheep like almost are forced to come to this rest. That's just like us, right? I mean, we're moving a million miles an hour. And God says, come and have some quiet time with me. Oh, Lord, I'm so busy. You know, I talk to people all the time. Like, hey, do you have a consistent quiet time? Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, when I have a few spare moments. And it's almost like the shepherd almost needs to drive us into this place of green pastures. This is beautiful. He leads me beside quiet waters. The shepherd knows when the sheep need to rest, even though the sheep don't know and are totally oblivious to that. But in order to really get rest, The shepherd needs to take care of these things. And so when he writes that he makes me lie down, basically the shepherd's saying, I've taken care of this. I've abolished the enemies, the wolves. You're a safe place here. I've taken care of the friction, you know, amongst one another. The flies, you know, these little things that kind of, you know, just grate at you, he's taken care of. And the famine, you are well fed in this place. And then we turn and it says, and he restores my soul. The words in Hebrew actually connotate, it could probably be better translated that he brings me to repentance. Or it could also be said, he brings me to salvation. And so that's how he restores our soul. And then he guides me in the paths of righteousness. So we see the leadership of the sheep. He's going to guide. And see, this is, you know, this is really important because the verses that come afterwards. So think about what he says. He's taking care of me. He's doing all these things. He restores my soul. He brings me back to original intended purpose. You know, I get saved. I repent. And then he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so he's still the leader. So you just have this thing in mind. He's still the leader. He's still moving towards us, and we're on the path of righteousness. But sometimes that path of righteousness, sometimes following the shepherd may lead us to verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, sometimes when we follow the shepherd, we'll be in the valley. But rest assured, it's still the path of righteousness. You see why these verses have to be very much connected to each other? You know, because a lot of times we think, God, why did you lead me astray? No, he's leading you, right? And this is the key. Even though, notice, he walks, doesn't run. You know, we want to run out of our troubles, right? We want to run out of our difficulties. We want to sprint as fast. And the shepherd is just walking us, and he's walking us through the valley. Because a key insight, the shepherd knows that it's just the shadow of death. It's not death. It's a shadow of death, right? You know, a shadow of a dog never bit anybody. The shadow of a knife never killed anybody. The shadow of a gun never shot anybody. It's just a shadow. And it's a shadow because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In essence, we are always living under the shadow of death. But it's a shadow because the Lord says that he has overcome death. And we see this beautiful prose, this beautiful poetry. And rest assured, he'll lead you. You're on that path of righteousness. And sometimes that path of righteousness leads to a valley. It's just, you know, you say, why? Well, this is just the way it has to be done. In the same way, like my kids, the only way my kids are going to learn some lessons and be mature, and they're just going to have to go through some stuff. It's just a reality. But this is the key. He's going to walk us, but he's going to walk you through. You're not going to be stuck in that valley. He's going to walk you through the valley, and the other side of that valley is glorious. You know what I mean? It is glorious. And we know what it means to work hard, and we know what it means to persevere, and that's what he's causing these sheep to do. He's gonna go through this, and he's gonna walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember, it's just a shadow; it's not death. It's just an image. It's a mirage. It's not the real thing, right? It can't kill you because he's with you. And then look what he says, and he says, "I fear no evil." For why? This is the key to understanding this. For you are with me. Did you catch just what happened here? This is why it's important. When you're on that path of righteousness, and that path of righteousness may become difficult, and it may seem like a valley, and when that's happening, you know what else happens? God becomes more sure in our life. So look what just happened here. The whole thing, the Lord is, right? We went from third person, and now we went to second person. Now, he doesn't say the Lord. He says, you. He says, you are with me. It's the intimacy. And it seems, I don't know about you, but I mean, I can say it's true for my life. It seems that in the darkest, most difficult time of my life, you know what? God became even more real to me. And I don't think it's because God became more real. I think it's my awareness of God became more in tune. You know, and sometimes it just took these valleys for me to realize and open my eyes and say, oh, you know, like Nietzsche, Lenin, you know, all these guys, so that these atheists, they say, oh, Christianity is the crutch of the weak. You know, it's the opiate of the masses. And it's for weak people. And I just say, yes, true, right? But not in the way they think. They think that people come to God because they're weak. You know, and I say people come to God because only when they're weak is they realize they need God. I look at it in a totally, I agree with the sentiment, but I disagree with the cause of it. And I think that we only can really realize that we need God is in the midst of difficulty, when we feel weak. Because why? Because his grace is sufficient for us. For his power is perfected in weakness. Or the way I could translate it is that his power is recognized when we recognize how weak we are. His power was always there. All that stuff was already there. It's just we open our eyes to it, like, oh, wow, that's really good. And he is you, first person, you are with me. Everything else is okay, it's a he, right? And then when it becomes really difficult, and this is when God comes through even more, you are with me. It becomes very, very personal. He moves, right, from third person to second person. And check this out. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was used, there actually is some discussion that if this is one instrument or two separate ones. It could be, it could probably be one, but the way that David is describing it serves two functions. One staff is to lead, right? It's kind of like move the sheep along. But the other one is to defend and to discipline. And we see how this works. And, I mean, when's the last time that you said, right, the discipline of the Lord was comforting to me? Interesting, right? We just say, oh, the discipline of the Lord, man, is so difficult. It was coming. See, understand, for the sheep, they have no defenses. There's no way they can defend themselves. They're not like their cousin, the ram, who has a horn that defends themselves. They're not like the goat, you know, very similar as well, you know, that can bite people and kick and all these kinds of things. They are the poor, defenseless sheep that have really no way to defend themselves. And so the discipline of the Lord is self-preservation. That's the only way they survive, is the Lord says, hey, no, 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 come over here, right? Don't wander away. Hey, no, no, no. Else they die. And that's why the discipline of the Lord is such a comfort to David. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. This is a kind of a strange sentiment to throw in there, but it follows the flow of this idea. Even when it gets, we start, the path of righteousness may lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil. I know because you are with me. Your rod, and they're leading me and disciplining me, and they give me such great comfort. Even so, you prepare, the word table, the way it's described here, means a bounty. I mean, this is like a huge, like, buffet spread. Just think of the best buffet you've ever gone to in your life. This beats it 10 times. And he says, you prepare a table, a huge spread in the presence of my enemies. In other words, like, I mean, can you imagine? You're surrounded, and obviously in this context, we're talking about wolves, right? But he is so close to the shepherd that he doesn't even think about the wolves that are around. He's just enjoying the feast that's at hand. You know, soldiers, like when you're in a war and you're in the presence of your enemies, you know, they eat really quick. I don't know if you've ever seen like those movies or seen like military meals. They're meant to be eaten on the run. They're meant to be eaten really fast. You know, there's no cooking involved. They just tear these pouches and, you know, it's kind of ready-made food. And so that's where that's normal when you're around your enemies. But David says, no, I am so secure in the shepherd. The shepherd, we're so close. I feel so safe that, and he, what does he do? He prepares a spread in the presence of wolves. All kinds of goodies, all kinds of things. It's not a cheap, you know, quick meal on the run. It's a huge spread. This is what it does. And he anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is a sign of blessing. A host, a good host, would anoint the person with oil. And it would be a sign of a treasured guest. You know, like really, I mean, one of the commentators says that if the Lord is doing this, it's as if you're actually moving in with him. He's not just inviting you to a meal. He's inviting you to live with him and become part of his household. And so he anoints him with oil, and you know, things just begin to overflow in this. And so that's what he does. And then he closes this off and says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Look at how this great picture is, okay? And this is the way I always imagine it. Think of the shepherd, right? Jesus. And I want you to, every one of you guys are in this boat, okay? Think of Jesus is right there and he's leading us. And then there's two angels standing behind us that follow. One's called goodness and the other one's called loving kindness, right? So I mean, it's awesome enough you have the shepherd. You know what I mean? You have the king and he's leading and guiding you. He's fending off the wolves and the animals. He's doing all, he's providing. He's your guide. He's your physician. You know what I mean? He's your protector. He's all these things. He's your defender. And then on top of that, what do you got? You got these two huge angels. These two huge, just beautiful, beautiful creatures. And one's called goodness, and the other one, loving kindness, mercy, hesed. And they follow you. And they follow you when? All the days of your life. Wow. I mean, I just imagine, I'm just thinking about this. Next time you're going into a really difficult meeting, you know what I mean, at work, or you have to, you know, confront somebody or something like that, just remember, the shepherd is in front of you, leading you, and then you got two big angels behind you, goodness and mercy and loving kindness. And they're with you all the days of your life. While you're praying this morning or while you're at home praying, the shepherd is leading you and you got two big angels behind you. When you leave this sanctuary, you're going to work or wherever you're going, you got the shepherd leading you and these two big angels, right? And I love their names, right? One is called goodness and the other one is called loving kindness. And he's following you all the days of your life. Isn't that an awesome, awesome picture, right? That he's leading. You know, maybe you're worried about your kids and all these things happening. Remember, their shepherd is leading, and they got two big angels, goodness and loving kindness, following behind them. They're in his care. And then the icing on top of it all, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in his presence. I get to have all this in this life, and then the life to come forever. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Oh, such a beautiful, beautiful psalm. I could easily do a couple months of preaching just on this psalm. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. I don't know. There's so much in this psalm. It's hard for me to even break it down for one devotion or one devotional thought today. And so if anything of this spoke to you, maybe you're walking through the valley right now. And God wants you to be assured it's just a shadow. God, He's already overcome death. He says, "Oh death, where's your sting? Oh death, where's your victory? It's been swallowed up in Christ." Maybe you're running around a million miles an hour, and the Lord needs you to just lie down. But that also, He's not forcing you to lie down. What He does, what it means is He's just creating space for you to lie down and rest. He's taking care of all the fear, the friction, the flies, and the famine. Maybe you just need to be rest assured that the shepherd is leading you. You're on that path of righteousness. And goodness and loving kindness is following you. The twin angels on your back. We are His sheep. He is our shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures He makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for His name, for His great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, ride beside me all my days, and I will dwell in Your house forever and bless Your holy name. You prepare a table right before me in the presence of my enemies. Though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust You, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, ride beside me all my days, and I will dwell in Your house forever and bless Your holy name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name.
Let's pray this morning, however the Lord is speaking to you. Let's make a declaration and a decision. You are my shepherd. I shall not want anyone else or anything else. It's a truth statement, and it's a decision that we make before the Lord. Lord, I only want you, no one and nothing else, God. Let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies and surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray that God would be their shepherd during this time. Let's pray for our community that is battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission prayers, and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia, and let's lift up these countries. Pray for our servants ministering there. Pray for Pastor Sophia, for Jungmin and Hyunjin, SB Tokyo. Let's pray in Cambodia for Grace and Oasis House. Let's ask God's hand upon our friends ministering powerfully. Let's pray for protection. There's quite a bit of COVID activity happening in both of these countries, and let's lift them up. Missions Council. Well, let's ask the Lord to really minister to our leaders and really use them to lead our church and our missional endeavors. Local outreach, our ministries, let's pray for God's blessing. I know some of them are on hold. Let's pray they would maybe think of new ways to go out and reach out to people, even in the midst of maybe some organizations closing and these type of things. And let's pray that the teams would be built up during this time as well. Pray for SP Fam. Let's pray that more families would sign up and be approved. Let's pray for our babies that we do have right now. Let's just ask God's blessing and protection. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. Our intercessory prayer team, SPU, SP Youth, and EG. EG is actually coming over to my home tonight. So just pray for a lot of grace. Let's pray for our young people to really experience God. Let's pray for our EG candidates to really experience God as well. And let's lift up our teams tonight. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, Westside. Let's pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for a great anointing that people would really draw near to God and to one another. Pray for our leaders and our hosts that they would lead well with love and with care and with sound mind. Lastly, let's lift up our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Some of you guys may have heard there's a they found a new strain, and so a whole block in Tung Chung had to go into a 21-day quarantine, like 400 and some people. And so let's just pray. Let's just pray for God's care over them. Let's pray that it would be safe and contained. And let's just lift up Hong Kong, just the city, decisions that are being made and on all these different things, that it really would be righteous decisions. Let's lift up. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. You are my shepherd, Lord, and I will not want. I don't want anything or anyone else, Lord. Lord, you provide for me. You lead me. You guide me. You love me. You heal me. You protect me. You defend me. Lord, you are our all in all, God. And we gladly place our hands in your hands, our hearts in your hands, God, because you are the great shepherd. So thank you, God. Let the truth of this psalm burn in our hearts today, Lord. God, we thank you. We love you, God. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.